Greetings. Welcome to Media Matters. Bob McChesney here, your host. We're coming to you live for a special two-hour version this Sunday, May 1st, 2005. And we've got a terrific show for you. We're going to be talking today about American politics, about world politics, and about the state of the media. But in particular, what we're going to do today is we're going to do something we do every 3, 4, or 5 months, hopefully no more frequently than that, is we're coming to you and asking for your support. This is the day we need listeners to Media Matters, people who enjoy this show, who really get a kick out of the sort of stuff we're doing, find this valuable in their lives, to make a phone call, step up to the plate, and say, this sort of programming is important to me. I want more of this, not only on WILL AM 580, but I want more of this in general to be supported in public broadcasting and community media around the United States. And believe me, the support we get on this show gets a lot of attention and carries a lot of weight and is very influential. So this is the time for you to step up. Dial the number. I'm going to give it to you a lot today, but I'll just write it down now. 217-244-9455. Call and make your pledge. We need your support. And, you know, we've got some great premiums. In fact, I'm really proud to say we have a terrific new premium for those of you who've probably pledged in the past and are tired of reading my books. We have another premium. This is a book that I have that I'm co-editor of with Ben Scott and Russell Newman. It's a new book called The Future of Media, Resistance and Reform in the 21st Century. And it's just a terrific book. And the reason I can brag about this, and if you've listened to the show before, you know that I'm not one to brag about my own books very much, is that I didn't do a lot of the work in this book. It's an edited volume. And we've got essays in there not only by myself and by Ben Scott and Russ Newman, but by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Michael Kopp, Sasha Meinrath, who a lot of you know, a local guy who's done a lot of work on the Community Wireless and with Indy Media Center. The list goes on and on. Peter Hart from Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. Lori Wallach, who's sort of the leader on global trade issues and democracy. This book really rocks. It's an extraordinary book, and it's literally coming off the press this week. I mean, it is a hot book. And anyone who makes a $60 pledge to support WILL will get a copy of this book sent to them as soon as it comes off the press. It will go directly to you. So you've got to make that call, 217-244-9455. Please make that pledge. Support Media Matters. Support WILL. Support local community broadcasting. This is really what we need to do. Now, we've got John Nichols, as a lot of you know, joining us today, and I think we've got John on his cell phone. John, are you there?
I am here, and I will be on the cell for a little bit because I just finished giving a speech at a church.
Well, I'm glad it's Sunday, and I'm glad you're taking care of business, brother. I didn't know you were a pastor on the side. You do a lot of things.
I was preaching the good word about media reform.
What denomination, may I ask?
This was the ever-exciting Lutherans.
Hey, I love Lutherans. I married one.
And let me tell you, I spoke to an adult education class. The room was packed. Everybody stuck around and talked a lot about media, and it was just fantastic. It reinforces something you and I have said a lot through the years. After the thing got done, this woman came up to me, and she said, you know, there was this story about this girl that ran away about a year ago, and it was the top news story for day after day, you know, all over the upper Midwest. It was all the media was covering about. And that same day, we had 6 Americans killed in Iraq, butchered, and then hung from a bridge. You know, horrible incident. And, you know, I called my mom, and I said, boy, did you see that horrible story? And my mom said, you mean about the girl that was lost? Mm-hmm. And this woman said, no, about what's happening in Iraq. And the mother said, no, I watched all the news. It wasn't on. And this is the bottom line. I mean, ordinary folks all over this country are starting to wake up to the reality that our media is giving them such a dramatically warped and irrelevant set of information, and they're getting mad about it. And that's what this show is about, is to help people to kind of break through that. It's one of the reasons I'm so enthusiastic about being on for the pledge drive, because I don't think your listeners in Champaign-Urbana and, you know, Western Indiana, Southern Central Illinois fully understand how important this show is. There is no other show like it on radio in the United States. There's no other show that on a weekly basis breaks through all of the lies and all the fantasies about what news is and what information is and gets down to some bottom line realities. It's absolutely important that we support this show, but it's also important that people understand in Champaign, Urbana, and around there that they are making possible a dialogue that needs to spread from their part of this country to the whole United States.
We're talking to John Nichols today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. If you tuned in and you're wondering, where's On the Media? That's supposed to be here from 12 to 1. Today, we've usurped their space. We're taking it over. We're colonizing it. We're liberating it. Pick your verb, whatever you want to say.
Regime change.
We're having a daily regime change because this is Pledge Drive Week nationally for NPR. So they were just going to run their own effort to raise money from you with a lot of open time for us here in the studio. So we decided to just take over the whole hour, and we're going to run from 12 to 2 today on Media Matters with our guest, who you've been listening to, John Nichols, frequent columnist for The Nation, one of their correspondents who covers politics, author of numerous books, including Dick, The Man Who Is President, including What's the Beast? Our
Against the Beast.
Against the Beast, a wonderful book we used as a premium in our last pledge drive, and co-authoring a book with yours truly that we're just finished, we're proud to say this week, won't be out for a while, Tragedy and Farce, which is about the press coverage of the Iraq War and the 2004 presidential election, and covers a lot of the themes that we've talked about a lot on this show with all our guests. And I want to remind folks that this is Pledge Drive Week. We need your calls, 217-244-9455. They set a target, John. You aren't going to believe the target they've given us here.
Is it $1,000?
No, they don't give us in money, which is a nice thing about WILL. The targets are number of callers. They're
oh,
really
that's
interested
exactly
in just
how it should be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because you give what you can afford, and we always appreciate that. And we're going to have, if you call up and say, I can give you $5, no one's going to beat you over the head and say, give us $7. You give what you can afford. That's just great. Show your support. But they've given us a total of 119.
119 callers.
Yeah, that's right. 119.
How many? Bob,
and that doesn't include phone
so
solicitors.
Far?
That's people actually making phone donations.
119. How many have we had so far?
Zero.
We see now we're already you know, what is it, about 120th
yeah, it's the,
of the
it's
way
the second
to
inning.
Here.
That's right. It's the second
we
inning.
We needed like 5 or 6 callers already.
That's right. And the last time, I guess our previous high was 118. So they decided to raise the
one
bar.
One more.
Raise the bar 1 millimeter, get us up to 119, see if we can meet it. And then we came out with this great new book for a premium, the one that The Future of Media that I co-edited with Ben Scott and Russ Newman, that's got chapters by Bill Moyers, by Bernie Sanders, by Linda Foley, by Michael Copps, by Lori Wallach, by Peter Hart Affair. The list goes on and on. It's really an extraordinary book that gives you the full landscape of what's going on in media politics in this country and the world. It's really one of the best books that I've participated in, and I brag about it because I had so little to do with it. As you know, I wouldn't be bragging this way about my books otherwise, but the people who write for this book are people that need to be read, and I think a lot of people recognize the names. Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Michael Copps, Sasha Meinrath, because they've been guests here on Media Matters. This is a show that has been a forum for voices like this, making thoughtful, critical analysis of media and politics in this country and having an opportunity to talk about these issues that simply isn't possible in the rest of our media culture.
Bob, what is that phone number that people need to call?
It is 217-244-9455, and we'll keep repeating it. Please do call in. We need 119 to meet our target for the day. We've got 2 hours, and I promise you, we're not just going to be shaking you down for money today. Make that call. Sit back and relax. John Nichols has got a lot to talk about. He covers the political scene in this country as closely as any political reporter out there. We've got a lot happening in the world today that we're going to talk about, including, John, let's get to it right away. We've got an election coming up in Britain, our closest ally. Next week.
It is a hugely important election. By the way, if you at some point here want to switch over on phones, I was told to.
Are
you
at home now? Can we get you on a hard line?
You can indeed.
Well, you know what? Why don't you hang up and call back, and I'm just going to repeat the phone number and give some updated information while you do that.
Your people are going to call me, I think.
Okay, my people are calling your people, yeah.
That's right, and I'll be at the proper phone. I'm hanging up.
Okay, thank you, John. John Nichols will be rejoining us in a second. He has been on his cell, returning from a Lutheran retreat where he was giving his talk, and now he's at home, and we're going to get him on his hard line. In the meantime, while you're waiting to get John back to talk about the upcoming British election, make that phone call, 217-244-9455, for a $60 pledge. You'll get a copy of the brand new book that literally is just coming off the press right this week, The Future of Media, which I co-edited with Russ Newman and Ben Scott, which features, it's 380 pages long. It's got original essays by people like Bill Moyers, Representative Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Michael Copps of the FCC, Sasha Meinrath, well-known to many people locally. You'll get a copy of this book hot off the press for a $60 pledge to support this show. You know, we do these shows 2 or 3 times a year. John's always my guest on the show, and it's my favorite show to do because to me, this is an interactive medium. And we have callers who call in all the time. We have callers who ask questions, and I love that. But this is a chance for you to step up to the plate and say, yeah, I really support this sort of radio. This is a show that covers issues I want to hear about in a way that I don't get an access to otherwise. I need a program like this. And the really exciting thing is this money doesn't go to me. I'm a volunteer. This doesn't go to any of our guests on the phone. This doesn't go to anyone here, basically. This money goes to pay the bills, the phone bills, so we can have John Nichols on the line, the electricity bills. We need this money just to pay the core expenses. This money is just desperately needed. I wish you could there's no fancy hot tubs here. There's no limos. You know, there's no cocaine parties. There's nothing like that. This is the most bare bones operation. And the great thing about radio is it doesn't cost a lot of money to do a good radio service, but it does cost money. It does need your support. And we need you to call. And if you're not a supporter of this show and of this station, we need you to step up right now. Make that call, 217-244-9455. Make the $60 pledge if you can, and we'll get you a copy of the brand new book coming off the press this week, The Future of Media. I've got a chapter in it. I'm one of the co-editors. Bill Moyers is in there, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Peter Hart of Fairness and Accuracy, and reporting FCC Commissioner Michael Copps, Sasha Meinrath, Lori Wallach, a lot of other people. Authoritative volume on the full range of issues in politics and media in the United States today and in the world. So make that call, 217-244-9455. John, are you back?
I am back. I appreciate the consideration there.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to the Hardline. Now, we've got a big election coming up next week, in this coming week in Britain. Tony Blair is running for yet another term in the Labour Party. Why don't you talk? I know you've been covering British politics for 20 years. You go over there constantly.
Yeah.
You're well aware of how it works. Give a sense to Americans about what's going on there. They might not be getting in the news headlines they get on CNN.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I can start out by saying is that it's absolutely atrocious how the coverage of the rest of the world has degenerated over the last 20 years, and especially the coverage of our supposed closest allies. England is a very close ally of the United States, right up to and including the war in Iraq. And when I started covering British politics back in the 80s, you could pick up almost any American newspaper and get a good basic brief on what was going on. You would know who the candidates were, you'd know, you know, what the major issues were. As you well know, Bob, I think it's very possible the average person, average listener to this show, didn't even know there was an election there.
Yeah, it's astonishing.
We don't cover the rest of the world anymore. And that's really a problem, because what's going on in Britain right now is absolutely fascinating and hugely significant as regards the American political dynamic. Everybody knows that Tony Blair was the essential ally for the decision to go to war in Iraq. Had Blair at any point in the process refused to go along, Bush would not have been able to ultimately sell the product. In fact, you recall that, for instance, some of the key lies or deceits that Bush perpetrated were very closely related to British intelligence and sort of warped readings of British intelligence. So that British-U.S. relationship is absolutely essential. And what's fascinating about this election is the number one issue right now, the most talked about issue in the election, is the Iraq War. Unlike in the United States in 2004, when we had this bizarro election where, you know, the elephant sitting at the kitchen table wasn't noticed, where you had extremely limited discussion about the war and about whether we should get out, whether we should, you know, do more there. The whole kind of dynamic of it was all kind of papered over and fuzzed up. In Britain, it's stark. It's at the forefront of the discussion. The issues of Blair's lying are, you know, right out there, front and center. And the interesting thing about it is that Blair and his chief opponent, Michael Howard, who's the head of the Conservative Party, are both supporters of the war, so they're not that different from Kerry and Bush.
That's right.
But what's different is that the British media, particularly the newspapers, and not just liberal newspapers, newspapers from across the ideological spectrum, have forced the war onto the front burner. In fact, just this last week, they revealed incredible information about how the Attorney General of Britain had told Blair 10 days before the war started that it was probably illegal. And that's just shaken the whole politics of the country. Everyone's talking about this.
And if I can interject, John, before this, Blair had claimed he had gotten a memo or authorization from the same person saying it was legal.
Exactly. And he lied.
And he lied, yeah.
And he's been caught in the lie just days before the election. And contrast this. In fact, I just wrote a column for The Nation about this. Contrast this with the fall of 2004 in the U.S., when in September we learned that CBS had decided not to air a report on Bush's manipulation of the facts to get us into the war in Iraq until after the election. And CBS itself, their executives announced their reason for not airing the report was they didn't want to affect the election.
Absolutely. It takes your breath away. What can you say after that? We're talking to John Nichols today in Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. If you've just tuned in and saying, hey, where's On the Media? That's usually here from 12 to 1 on WILL AM 580. Let me remind you that this is a special two-hour version of Media Matters. This is Pledge Drive Week across the country for NPR stations. So On the Media just had one of their fundraising shows, so we decided to take it over. We've got John Nichols here from The Nation magazine, our frequent guest, joining us to talk about politics, American, Iraqi, all over the world, British as well. And we need you to call in today and give us your support. We've got a goal of 119 callers. We have five now, John, at 1222.
Well, that's not too bad. We're going to make it.
No, we start slow. It always happens that way.
But the problem is that tons of folks are going to wait until, 10 minutes out. Then the phones are going to be going crazy.
That's right.
So we really need people to call now for two reasons. Number one, we want to, the more we get ahead on this, the less we have to beg people to call. But number two, in that rush at the end, we know we lose callers.
That's right.
And so what we'd love to do is, we want to make our 119. We'd like to make 125, 150, and we think we can. But one of the key ways to do that is for people to start calling now.
That's right. And I'll tell you, if people get in, call in, and we get 119 by like 10 or quarter of, I'll stop hassling you, and we'll just talk about politics and media. I can't promise John won't hassle you, but that's another matter.
Somebody will. We'll bring in somebody. But bottom line is people really do need to call. And, Bob, you need to remind them of the number.
I do indeed. 217-244-9455. And for a $60 pledge, we will give you a copy of the brand new book just came out that I co-edited with Russ Newman and Ben Scott called The Future of Media. It has chapters, original chapters by Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley. Sounds like a guest list for this show. Peter Hart, Michael Copps of the FCC, Sasha Weinrath, Lori Wallach, and about seven other people. It's a 400-page book. It's a wonderful book. If you make that $60 pledge, you will be one of the first people on the planet to have a chance to read it. 217-244-9455. Please call and make the pledge. John, as you know, approximately 10% of the people who listen regularly to public radio give money to it. 90% of the people are what we call free riders. And if you're one of the 10% who call up and make your pledge and do the best you can, I love you. John and I would like to give you a hug. We think you're wonderful.
Come take you to dinner in a couple weeks.
We do. Yeah, anything we can do. The other 90%, I want you to go take a look in the mirror next time you get a shot, sort of take a gaze at what your program is and sort of rethink it, because this station depends increasingly upon listener support. We're a public radio, it is true, but the public part of it has fallen off dramatically, both from the state level and the federal level here at WILL. Increasingly, we're dependent upon this community and people in the community to give us the resources to bring the services, the guests we're going to have. Next week, our guest on this show is going to be Seymour Hersh, and he's going to have a full hour to talk about his research on what's going on in Iran and Iraq and around the world with U.S. military interests. Pace-setting, trailblazing stuff. There's not many other shows in this country that can give Seymour Hersh an hour and give the people of this community an hour to call him up and ask him questions.
Bob, if I could just interrupt and tell you, whether you give or not, anybody who cares about this country better tune in next week. I've had the honor of sitting at Seymour Hersh's feet, listening to him talk about stuff, and there is nobody who understands the dynamic of what U.S. foreign policy is doing and where we are putting this country better than Seymour Hersh, period. And so listeners ought to know that they are listening to an incredible show, a really significant show. And they also ought to recognize something else that, we just talked about Britain for a little bit, and we'll talk some more about it. But one of the reasons that Britain has such a dramatically better media system than the United States is because they have the BBC. And it's BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, is generally viewed as the single best broadcast news outlet in the world. And the thing that most Americans may not know is that BBC is supported entirely by its listeners and viewers. They have a small charge that goes on. Anybody who has a television pays a small charge in. And so it is a popularly funded
news and entertainment network, and it does such a better job than our American commercial-funded networks.
And let me give the number, John, while we're at that, so people can call in. Because I see now we have no one who's called in. We have one person calling in, but I think it might be a pizza order for all we know. We need some callers. 217-244-9455. Call, make your pledge. We need 119. We're up to 8 now. We're keeping track here. And I want to thank some folks. Susan Arkins Bain, bless you, from Sydney. We've got Red K, and I have to apologize if I'm mumbling this. It is not intentional. Kimberly Curtis, a couple of wonderful people from Urbana, several people who want to remain anonymous. But all of you, thank you so much for your support down here at the station. We really appreciate it. John appreciates it. We need more of you to call. We need to get those books hot off the press, shipped directly to you.
I hear the phone. I did hear some phones ringing there.
I know. I hope it's not someone's cell phone. I hope it's the real deal.
Bottom line is people do need to call in, and we'll talk more about issues and stuff like that. We're going to have a real thorough show here, but we really want to hear those phones ringing as we do it.
And I want one other point. We've got a guest I want to get on the phone in a second, but before we get to that guest, I want to remind folks that when you give money to support this show, it's not just supporting this show. It's not just supporting WILL AM 580 and WILL more broadly in this community. It's really a vote for this is the type of programming I think is important. And believe me, we go to the public broadcasting conventions now. Mm-hmm. And when people hear about the sort of support this show gets, it opens doors for us. It opens doors for this show on stations around the country. Media Minutes, the five-minute feature we air every day, every week at 1:01 p.m., is now carried, I think, on 13 stations around the country, and it'll be up to 40 or 50 probably within a year. People are getting it. They see there's a real hunger in this country for critical analysis of the media.
Bob, the strength of this show, the fundraising we can do on this show also helps this station to do lots of local programming that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do.
Amen. And, you know,
the whole of the day is helped.
Something that you and I know, John, is that local commercial broadcasting in this country is basically abandoned doing local coverage. It's been left to the NPR affiliates around the country. And WILL does a great job, but it does it with chewing gum and bailing wire. I mean, it is not like sitting here with the flush bank account. The money that comes in goes directly to pay for the services we treasure in this community. 217-244-9455. Make that $60 pledge if you can. Give whatever you can. If you don't have $60, fair enough. But if you do $60, have a brand new book with chapters by people like Bill Moyers, myself, Bernie Sanders, called The Future of Media. John, we've got a guest and a visitor is joining us in the line who's come from your town. We're taking over the Northwest here.
Uh-oh.
Sheldon Rampton, welcome to Media Matters.
Thanks.
Can I introduce Sheldon?
Yeah, please do, John.
I mean, people need to know that they are in the company of genius here. Sheldon Rampton and his co-writer, John Stauber, have written some of the most powerful books, some of the things that have been both bestsellers in the U.S. and Europe, on public relations, media, how folks lie to us. And they have their best book. I mean, they have a lot of great books. But I remain a huge fan of their book on our current government, Banana Republicans. And they've also done a ton of others, Toxic Sledge is Good for You. And Sheldon's also just one of the best people around. So please welcome Sheldon Rampton.
And if I may,
I'm blushing.
Sheldon, you ought to tell folks, too, something that you've been working on really actively with the Center for Media and Democracy up in Madison, Wisconsin, and with your comrade John Stauber, has been this whole fake news phenomenon, which has really become a huge crisis in the past few months.
Right. We're working on a project called Stop Fake News, and we'll have more on that go public as time goes on. But basically, it's a campaign to expose things like video news releases and other ways that propaganda is basically inserted into the media. It's amazing to me, because John and I have been talking about the corruption of using video news releases for a decade now, and yet most people still have not even heard about the fact that local TV stations are using these canned news stories produced by PR firms and plugging them in and playing them and using them as news. People find that very shocking, and the reason that it's so shocking to people is that it's so hidden. You know, local TV stations don't want to admit that they're using this PR filler in place of news, and so they don't report on it. And it's one example among a number that could be given of how the media does just a terrible job of reporting on itself. So the purpose of the Stop Fake News project is to first expose it. We want to compile documented examples of these things being used, and spread the word until it finally becomes so embarrassing that TV stations have to stop using this stuff.
Sheldon, where can folks go who are listening go on the web if they want to find out more about this campaign?
They can go to our website, which is www.prwatch.org.
PRWatch.org. And Sheldon, thanks so much for joining us today. I know you've got, this is your one day off. You probably get one day a year off. And thanks for taking time to come join us here on Media Matters.
Thanks. Have good luck with your fundraising.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the reason we asked Sheldon to call in is because this is the sort of work which is really important that's going on in this country now that you're not hearing about in other shows.
And remember that Sheldon talked about local news stations who are using these video press releases, but one thing people have to understand is that the Bush administration has been a pioneer in the use of video news releases, and they have spent literally millions of dollars to produce these and to lie to the American people about things like Medicare reform, Medicaid fraud, and things of that nature. And so this is not merely a, you know, core local media issue and a vital one. It's also a fundamental national politics issue. This is one where we see a bad government conspiring, frankly, with bad media to create the lie that what you're looking at on your evening news, your local news, or national even sometimes, is actually a reported story by a journalist rather than something that was produced in the, you know, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services or something like that.
And again, this is a story that you're not going to be hearing a lot about on the Rush Limbaugh show. Rush isn't putting this one up the flagpole.
Or on your local news.
Or on CNN, okay, for that matter. It's basically not going to be, it's not being covered. But it's an extraordinary story of importance, and we're talking about it here on Media Matters. We're bringing guests in who are experts, and I think you get a sense from people like Sheldon Rampton. We're not bringing in demagogues who are just yelling and screaming and calling people names. Bringing people who do hard work, real journalists, real scholars, have hard evidence, and give thoughtful, detailed answers to complex questions. And I think that's something you're going to get here on this show that you can't get on other programs, and certainly in commercial radio. And if you want to support this sort of programming, it does cost money. And the money doesn't go to my bank account or John Nichols or anyone else's. It goes to pay for the phone bill, the electricity bill, the water bill. We're talking about the really basics that increasingly have to come from our listeners. If we don't get that money, we can't go on the air as the public money gets slashed to the bone. The number, 217-244-9455. If you have called, I love you. Thank you so much. We're going to be thanking you over the air if you want. If you haven't called and you're sitting and listening, you start saying, maybe I'll call. I don't know. I'll think about it. Just make the call. It's a great feeling when you make that call and you sort of, put me down for $60 and send me a copy of that great new book with chapters by Bill Moyers and Bernie Sanders and Linda Foley, The Future of the Media, and all the other people. It's a great feeling. You sit back and relax and hear John Nichols talk about the coverage of the Iraq War, the British election, a lot more about what's going on in the United States, and talk a little bit about the conference that's coming up right here in Champaign-Urbana. May 10th and 11th. I know a lot of people have been talking about it here. That's a conference that I'm helping to sponsor. It's going to have John Nichols will be there along with Seymour Hersh and a lot of the other people who have been guests on this show in the past few weeks and over the past few years. People like Amy Goodman, Naomi Klein. Who else are we going to have?
Linda Foley's
coming. Phil Donahue is going to be there. Phil's phenomenal.
And some people in the rock and roll industry.
Oh, well, yeah, some of that. Not as many as we wanted, but some of those, too.
And the bottom line is that in less than 2 weeks, Champaign-Urbana is going to be ground zero for the whole country as regards media reform. There's going to be activists and scholars, a lot of key people who are coming in prior to the big conference in St. Louis a few days later. But what's going to happen in Champaign-Urbana is going to be really the kind of key intellectual discourse about where our media is at today and what needs to be done about the fundamental problems in it. And it would be wonderful if one of the things that Bob and I can say during those sessions is that you folks who've come from all over the country, some of you from outside the country, other nations, that you are in a town where we have this tremendous level of support for grassroots public media like this station. And one of the ways that will make it possible for us to say that is if folks will call 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455, and give whatever you can. If you give a dollar, that's absolutely great. We're delighted by it. If you give $1,000, that's great, too. the bottom line is, it is not about the amount of money. It is the thing that we talk about always is the number of callers, the fact that there are, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people who are committed to supporting this kind of media. That matters more than the money, because we know if you have a broad base of supporters, there'll be enough resources.
Yeah, we know, John. You know, I've asked Jay Pierce and the folks here at the station, you know, what sort of listenership do we get? Because they get these ratings numbers. They hire people to do them. And, you know, we have several thousand people listening to the show every week. We know that. And we're the second most visited web page that the station has, apparently. We've got thousands and thousands of people. So we're asked, basically, to have 119 people call in and make a pledge. 119 out of 5,000. I mean, that's what, 1%, 2%, something like that. It's not very much. If everyone who just listened right now has listened in the past and will listen in the future, says, yeah, this is worth it. I'm going to call and make a pledge for whatever I can afford. $5, $10, $60, and get that book, whatever it is. Maybe you've had a lucky run recently. Make it $500, whatever you can afford. If everyone did that, this station would be flush. We don't even need to go get new people. We don't have to drag someone off the streets to give us money. If just the people listening to the show made the call, we'd be set. This station would be set. Public broadcasting would be rocking and rolling across East Central Illinois.
And, you know, we do brag. People should know, Bob and I do brag about this station. We talk about it a lot because we've done these fundraisers before, and you folks have never let us down. We've always had successful fundraisers here, and we've been able to go out and say, look, you know, stop talking about New York and Los Angeles and Washington. You know, we know about towns in the Midwest, places like Champaign or Urbana, and smaller towns like the woman who called from Sydney, where folks are willing to pony up. They're willing to, you know, open their checkbook and send some money in, because they believe we've got to have a better media in this country.
No, this show's getting some attention. The station is. The culture that's being built around here that takes an interest in these issues. Phil Donahue, for example, when he heard about the conference and then came on the show, said, hey, I want to get out there. I want to see what's going on in Champaign-Urbana. This town sounds like a pretty cool place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we need people to call in and support this show, support this station, support the principle, the sort of radio broadcasting that's being done here on WILL AM 580. The number 217-244-9455. And I want to make a couple of thank yous to callers. We're up to, if I read the figures correctly, we've got over 20 now. So we're down, at least we're into double digits what we need to get, John. We need more folks. We're doing well.
I want to
encourage people out there. This is no time to take a nap. I mean, have a cup of coffee if you need it, then make your call.
We're going to be on edge for the next hour and a half.
That's right.
We want our listeners to be as well.
And Jay, is this your handwriting here if I mangle this? Jay, you should have gone to medical school. Annie Burkus Chasson, does that look good? From Champaign, thank you so much for your support. Lynn Petrie, Urbana, William Maher, Champaign, David Griffiths of Champaign, Richard Miles from Logansport, Indiana. And Indiana, of course, one of our favorite states, right, John?
Indeed, we love it. We'd just like it to have more progressive politics.
Well, we're doing our best, and certainly Logansport's the heart of the progressive movement in Indiana, so we're delighted.
I can't disagree with you on that.
And so please make the call. We have phone lines open, 217-244-9455. Remember, $60 pledge gets you a copy of the brand-new book, The Future of Media, which I co-edited with Ben Scott, the first producer here on Media Matters, and a frequent guest now talking about media politics. He's one of the leading organizers on media issues in Washington right now. And Russ Newman, who works at the group Free Press that John Nichols and I helped form. And we've got chapters in there by people, once again, Bill Moyers. I mean, one of the most brilliant things Bill's ever written on freedom of the press and its importance. Representative Bernie Sanders, a guest on this program a few weeks ago. He'll be in Urbana next week.
Soon to be a U.S. senator.
Possibly soon a U.S. senator. Linda Foley, who's been a guest here. Peter Hart of Fairness and Action Reporting. SEC Commissioner Michael Copps, you know, an extraordinary public servant. Again, another guest here. This is a great book. You're not going to find a book with the sort of depth and range of coverage of the issues of media that you're going to find in this book. And you're going to be the first person on your block to have it if you make a $60 pledge to WILL. And the way to do that, 217-244-9455. Now, some people, John, are shy on the phone or whatever. They can't get a hold of the phone right now. They're at the computer. They might be listening. So you can go online and make a contribution. Just go to the website, will.uiuc.edu, and you can follow the easy directions. Let them know you're just supporting this show, too. It doesn't hurt us. Because, again, when we get a lot of support for this show, it goes a long way to sending a message to this community community, to the station, and to the country. This is the sort of broadcasting people in this country are interested in. They will support it. This is something that has a real audience, and we've shown that it does. We've got big numbers. We've got lots of supporters. We've got a lot of interest in this show, but we've got to keep it up, and we want to. So this isn't the anomaly. I'm not proud of the fact that John Nichols comes on the air and says, aren't you lucky in Champaign-Urbana to have a show where Seymour Hersh talks? I want there to be 75 shows that are battling to get Seymour Hersh on the air every week on radio stations across the country. That's our goal. When you give money to this show, to this station, you're going to make it a lot easier for us to go to those national conventions and say, get a show like this on the air in your community. So the number, 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. We need your support. Thanks so much. John Nichols?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk some more politics now.
All right.
The British election coming up. Now, Blair is going to win this thing, right? That's the consensus.
I think it probably is because, you know, you have this, the fundamental reality is that the Conservative Party, the main opposition in Britain, supported the war as well. And if the war is the big issue, that kind of it makes the leading opposition a weaker force. In addition, aside from the war, there are a lot of other issues, and the Labour Party, which Blair leads, which is nothing like the American Republican Party. Remember, it is a traditionally socialist party. Blair has made a devil's deal with Bush on foreign policy, but domestically he's still a more progressive player. You know, most people are going to vote to keep their health services. They're going to vote to keep their education services. So probably Blair and the Labour Party will prevail. But the important thing to understand is that it will not be by as much in the past. And one of the reasons that Blair will not do as well is because Iraq has been made an issue there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point you made earlier, the fact that, you know, a leader who takes a country to war is held accountable for claims they make that are proven to be false.
It's exactly what should happen in our politics. Elections ought to be about, you know, saying to those who are in charge, you know, we object when you lie to us. We object when you do things that we disapprove of. And another reason why Labour is going to do well is that the Labour Party itself in Britain has split. A third of the members of the Labour Party voted against the war in Parliament, have challenged Blair on a number of issues, and the reality is that his days are numbered. The only way that he has remained successful in this campaign is by tying himself very closely to the number two person in the country, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, a guy named Gordon Brown, who's much more progressive, much more liberal figure. And Blair and Brown have been like joined at the hip through this campaign because Blair's personal approval ratings have fallen. Brown's are much higher. The other thing to remember about this campaign, a really, really important thing, is that unlike in the United States, in Britain, the Prime Minister runs in his home constituency. He runs in the equivalent of a congressional district,
mm-hmm.
not nationwide. He is the Prime Minister in England is simply the leader of a parliamentary party. In the United States, if we had this system, Denny Hastert of Illinois would be the Prime Minister. That is a horrifying thought, so maybe our system's better. But so when you understand it in that context, you look not just at the national results, but one of the big questions is how Blair does in his own constituency.
Yeah, and this is, we've talked about, before we went on air, you and I had a long talk about this British politics and what's going on with Blair in this constituency. And before you tell this story, let me remind people you're listening to John Nichols from The Nation magazine and frequent guest today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. This is a special two-hour edition. We're going all the way to 2 o'clock. We need you to call in. It's Pledge Drive week here. This is the time we come to you with the tin cup. We need your support to keep this station on the air. It won't stay on the air without your support. This programming can't stay in the air. We need to make it flower and prosper and grow. And if you're listening to the show, we know we have thousands of people every week who listen to the show. If you're listening, please call up. Make the pledge. Whatever you can give. If it's only $5, make it $5. If it's $60, though, we hope it is, we'll get you a brand new copy of the new book coming off the presses this week, The Future of Media, which I co-edited with Russ Newman and Ben Scott, and has chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, FCC Commissioner Michael Copps, Sasha Meinrath, our local media activist and one of the leaders of the movement for community internet in the United States. $60 pledge will get you that book sent to you directly as it comes off the press. So make the call to 217-244-9455. Show your support for this show, for public broadcasting, non-commercial radio, and for healthy, vibrant debate over the central issues in our culture. And I think, you know, John, your point, before we get back to Britain, but your point of departure for the show today, which is simply, you know, we aren't even covering, discussing, like, elections in Britain in our news media anymore. That's buried beneath, like, Michael Jackson's porno book collection.
Exactly. You know, and that is a fundamental point that we, you know, I talk to people about this all the time. And, you know, when you get an older audience, people in their 60s or 70s, and you say, you know, our media has never been perfect. It's always had flaws, but it used to be a whole lot better. They understand. But younger folks, they've never seen a media like it ought to be. I had an experience a few years ago where I was speaking in Duluth, Minnesota, to a big progressive group, and I stopped into an antique store before I gave the speech and happened to see a pile of old copies of the Duluth newspaper from the 1960s, and I picked up a couple of them, and I used them as the illustration in the speech. I held up the front page. The front page of those newspapers had stories from, you know, Africa and Asia, as well as local stories. And it even had, I remember one of them, on the front page, above the fold, toward the top of the page, a story on Ralph Nader holding a press conference to talk about the safety, the quality of meat. You know, do you really think that stories like that make the front page of the paper or the lead of the news anymore? They don't. They're squeezed out by Michael Jackson and Lacey Peterson and the runaway bride. You know, we had a huge story the last couple of days about some bride who got cold feet, and the whole country was trying to find her. Well, the fact of the matter is those stories don't matter. The stories that matter about whether your food is safe and what's going on in the rest of the world, because, you know, the rest of the world is going to affect us in some way or another, either positively or, as Chalmers Johnson suggests, in some form of blowback. I mean, that's why we ought to have a different, you know, plate of news than we have right now.
And the place to start with that is with programs like this, stations like this that offer balance, that offer sort of a sober reflection on the crucial issues that face us in media and in politics. And we need you to show your support if you're a listener to this station, and especially if you're listening to this show. Call in right now, 217-244-9455. Make the pledge, whatever you can give. They've given us, John, a target, as you know, of 119. And I sort of feel like, you know, Barry Bonds probably felt 3 years ago when he came to spring training, the manager said, "I want 74 home runs this year," you know, and he just come through with 73 the year before. You know, that's a tall order. And we've only got 25 across the plate so far. So we need roughly 96
more. We need about 100 more.
We need roughly 100 more, and we've got an hour and 12 minutes to do it.
We can do it.
We can do it.
We really do need people to call 217-244-9455.
And you know, if you're listening to this,
9455.
Yeah, if you're listening to the show, you know who you are. We're only asking 2% of the people who listen to the show to make the call. So if you're part of the 2%, we do love you. And make your call. We need you because you're the ones who've been carrying the load for the rest of the other people listening. But if you're part of that other 98%, I know you've got demands on your money. You've got demands in your time. But we also know you like this show. You like this station. Just give what you can. You know, it's for us psychologically, it's not just the money. It's the vote that people say, this is the sort of programming I value. This is the sort of radio station I value. This is what I want in my community. And when you call and you make the pledge, whatever it's for, that tells us that you're really supporting us. And that's why John and I are so eager to do shows like this. 217-244-9455. And again, at the $60 level, you get a copy of the brand new book, The Future of Media. I co-edited with Russ Newman and Ben Scott, with chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders, Michael Copps of the FCC, Linda Foley, Sasha Meinrath, many others. Absolutely a terrific book with detailed, sophisticated analysis of the full range of media issues that face this country today, but done so in a way that's accessible, that you don't have to have a doctorate in some subject to understand what we talked about. Not a lot of jargon. A clear, concise introduction and survey of the full range of crucial media policy issues. You'll get that book, which is just coming off the press this week for a $60 pledge. But you got to call this number to make the pledge, 217-244-9455. Now, John, the much-awaited story about Tony Blair, he has to run himself for re-election and win his version of what would be called a House seat in this country if he's going to be prime minister for another term. Even if the Labour Party wins, he's got to carry his own race, right, to remain prime minister.
And it shouldn't be hard. He is running for re-election in a constituency in the north of England called Sedgefield, which is an old mining region. And to understand the equivalent, it's sort of like, imagine the most democratic part of the city of Chicago. and a Democrat running for re-election there, Blair should be completely secure. He should have absolutely no problems. But interestingly enough, he does have some problems. And the reason is that a gentleman is running against him named Reg Keyes. He's running as an independent, not a member of any political party, and he's running on one issue, the charge that Blair lied and led the country into war in Iraq inappropriately, wrongly. And Reg Keyes has quite a story to tell because he's a former ambulance driver. He's in his 50s and very smart, handsome fella. But the reason people are interested in him is because his son was killed in Iraq in one of the most awful, most gruesome slayings. He was actually butchered in the city of Basra by a group of insurgents. And Reg Keyes tells an incredible story because he says, you know, I supported the war because I believed Tony Blair. When my son said to me that he was going to fight in Iraq, I told him how proud I was of him. I saluted him as he marched off to serve. And now I realize that he went to his death for no reason except for Tony Blair's lies. And this campaign that Keyes is running is just it's a remarkable campaign. It's very poignant, and he's drawn support from all over England. Very prominent people have come in to campaign on his behalf. People like Brian Eno, who was the a member of the rock band Roxy Music, has organized rock stars from all over England to back him. Martin Bell, who's a former member of Parliament, one of the most respected members of the British Parliament, has come to Sedgefield just to work as Reg Keyes's press secretary. Authors, writers, all sorts of folks are coming in, and this race in Sedgefield has really become sort of a small-scale referendum on Blair. It's being watched extremely closely in Britain. And imagine the dynamism there. Imagine if George Bush, on a daily basis, had to deal with the parent of someone who died in Iraq, who was challenging Bush on his lies. It would be a dynamic that everyone would watch closely. And not only does it have the human drama that makes it important news, it also has the policy reality that, you know, Blair, one of the reasons Blair is facing a tough reelect is because, you know, he's being challenged not on his personality, but on fundamental questions of whether he lied to lead the country into war.
We're talking to John Nichols today in Media Matters, special two-hour version. We started at noon. We're going to go to 2 here in WILL AM 580. And as you know, this is Pledge Drive Week. Please call in. We have lines wide open. The number 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455. Give whatever you can. And remember, a $60 pledge gets you a copy of the brand-new book coming just off the press right now, The Future of Media. And oh, boy, we got a caller from San Francisco who came in on the web and made a nice donation.
Fantastic.
Jacqueline Davis, thank you, from Champaign. And an anonymous person from Chicago called in and made a donation. John, we're up to 31 now.
It's doing good, but we just need more.
We do need more.
The bottom line is, you know, they asked Samuel Gompers, one of the great leaders of the AFL-CIO, the AFL at the turn of the century, one of the greatest labor leaders in American history. They asked him once, what does labor want? And he said, more. And so if you ask us what we want from our callers, we want more callers.
And we've got a challenge that came in from Sarah McDougal in Urbana. She'll give $10 for each of the next 10 student memberships. So if a student pays $15 to become a member of WILL, she'll pay the remaining $10. So thank you very much, Sarah. Students out there, you know, if you want to pass my class, you better call. No, I'm kidding.
That's not
how we do it here. No. But please do call in, students, and even if you aren't a student, if you're a student of life, call in and make that pledge at 217-244-9455. Now, turning from the sublime to the ridiculous, John, did you watch the presidential press conference Thursday night?
Well, I really don't believe that we should call those things press conferences anymore. You know, now that the tough, hard-hitting Jeff Gannon is no longer in the crowd, I don't think we're getting very good questions.
And is Helen Thomas in a straitjacket now?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Look, presidential press conferences have become a joke. And Americans ought to understand that around the world, when a leader submits to questioning from the press, they usually do so for an hour with an individual member of the press, and then they turn around and give another interview. Tony Blair in the course of, you know, not just this campaign, but in England in general, he regularly has to give interviews to all the major daily newspapers, to all the different BBC networks. It's expected of leaders that they face the press on a regular basis. In contrast, George Bush shows up about every 3 months, and he doesn't even take questions for the first 15 minutes. He gives a speech, which he uses the context of a presidential press conference, which is usually broadcast live, to, you know, basically do propaganda for 15 minutes. And then if you'll note, on this press conference, when the president finally did get through with it, he pulled it to a quick stop because he didn't want the press conference to go over and affect the TV networks that were going to start airing their, you know, whatever shows are on Donald Trump, because it was ratings month. And Bush actually acknowledged that one of the reasons he was cutting his press conference short was because he didn't want to interrupt networks during a ratings sweep. And, I mean, this is such a ridiculous and embarrassing process. The fact of the matter is that, frankly, the people who are Washington correspondents for the big newspapers and TV stations shouldn't even participate in the travesty anymore.
And I just got a note handed to me by Jay Pierce that they actually changed the start time of the press conference to factor in these reality shows, not to interrupt them.
I mean, you know, Donald Trump must be seen. You know, I mean, but and imagine the message that comes to the American people there. It's basically, even you shouldn't care about this because it doesn't matter enough to, you know, like, take real questions for a serious amount of time. And we're certainly going to call it off the second that, you know, it might interrupt entertainment. I mean, the problem that we've got in America today is a federal government and a media system made up of large corporations which essentially agree on one thing, and that is that the American people really shouldn't be given that much information. What they should get is a whole lot of entertainment and a lot of celebrity scandal, quote-unquote, news. And Bush, you know, again, this press conference was ridiculous. Where were the fundamental questions? I mean, where were the real questions about, you know, Iraq and about domestic economy and about, you know, I mean, the John Bolton question was, you know, the John Bolton being the very controversial nominee for ambassador to the UN. The John Bolton question was, do you still think John Bolton's a nice guy?
Yeah,
you know, and Bush said,
ridiculous.
Yeah, I still think he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah,
well,
shocker.
You know, I mean, no. The question on John Bolton is, you know, it has been exposed that John Bolton has done absolutely bizarre things. I mean, chased women down, you know, hotel hallways at 2 in the morning, got caught, you know, lying about, you know, the government of South Korea. I mean, he apparently treated his underlings in, like, just horrific, you know, a manner not seen since Marquis de Sade. And, you know, I mean, these are some fundamental questions, and Bush should have been asked, you know, hey, now that you know this information and, you know, detail the information, do you still support John Bolton? How can you support this man? Instead, he gets the, you know, well, what do you think about this kind of question? I kind of miss Jeff Gannon, the fake reporter that was put in there, you know, and asked questions for a couple of years, because at least Jeff Gannon's questions were funny.
Yeah, like, you know, it must be rough for you dealing with all these tough questions everyone else is giving you.
I know. I mean, now, you know, we don't have Jeff Gannon there to laugh at. We just have a bunch of people who ask questions remarkably similar to those from Jeff Gannon and not particularly more informative.
John, I have bad news for you.
Uh-oh.
Our phone lines are black. They're dark. They're dead. They're wide open. If someone wants to call in, we have a bank of eager volunteers sitting in a windowless room.
Oh, how horrid.
Waiting for the phones to ring. The number here, 217-244-9455. Please call. Any amount you give is appreciated. We need your support. When you support this show, again, what it means is that not only do you support the station and support non-commercial radio broadcasting in our community in Champaign-Urbana and East Central Illinois, what you're doing is you're sending a message to every other station manager of an NPR affiliate and a community radio station in this country that this is the sort of programming people want to hear. This is what's important to people. And when you call, believe me, it's what economists call the multiplier effect. $1 has 10 times that influence that you give when we go to these national conventions and tell people about the support this program gets. You've got to call in and make that pledge, if you will, at 217 217- 844-944-9455. Whatever the amount is, we've been given a target here of 119 for the two-hour period. Right now, I think we're at roughly 31 and counting. But what we're going to do in a few minutes, and actually a few seconds, is we're going to go to the weekly five-minute installment of Media Minutes. This is a special program we created just for Media Matters. It's a weekly update on media policy news from around the country done by John Anderson and Kimberly Kronick locally. They do a terrific job. This show is phenomenal. It's gotten great response. We do it as a service here. It's one of the things you get when you support WILL, when you support this show, is you get a program like Media Minutes. Let's go to that for 5 minutes. And while we're at it, I want everyone to promise you're going to make those phone calls, make that pledge, and then you can sit and listen to the last hour of the show with wonderful peace of mind.
This is WILL Urbana.
Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Kronick.
The federal government's become more secretive in the last 5 years than it's been in more than 50, and it's using every trick in the book to keep otherwise public information out of public view. It's no surprise that government information judged classified or top secret would be restricted, but other, less well-known designators are now employed, seemingly at random, to deny access to public information. For example, government maps and safety data on nuclear power plants and chemical facilities are now disappearing from archives, having been reclassified as for official use only or sensitive but unclassified. These labels carry no legal authority, but certainly intimidate the casual inquisitor. Challenging decisions of secrecy is already more difficult, thanks to a 2001 rule promulgated by former Attorney General John Ashcroft, which set years of Freedom of Information Act policy on its head. The previous federal rule of thumb was to release requested information to the public unless there was a compelling reason not to. Ashcroft decreed that government agencies keep things secret unless doing so might break the law. The number of documents labeled as classified or higher has doubled in the last 4 years, while the rate of document declassification has dropped by more than half since George W. Bush took office.
The nation's two largest cable companies are sharing in the spoils of a former rival. Comcast and Time Warner Cable have agreed to buy the bankrupt Adelphia Communications for a combined $17.6 billion, most of that in cash. Adelphia went belly up in 2002 when members of Adelphia's founding family were arrested and charged with fraud after they looted the company of hundreds of millions of dollars for personal gain. The founder, John Regas, and one of his sons has since been convicted and awaits sentencing. As a result of this buyout, once the assimilation of Adelphia is complete, Comcast and Time Warner will control more than one-third of the entire U.S. cable subscriber base, some 38 million cable customers in all. To keep the buyout from running into antitrust problems, Comcast will divest itself of stock it holds in Time Warner Cable. The two companies are also carving up Adelphia's cable systems in such a way as to strengthen their grip on lucrative territories. When all is finished, Time Warner's customer base will be consolidated in and around five major urban markets, including New York and Los Angeles. In exchange, Time Warner will cede most of the rest of the Atlantic seaboard and Midwest to Comcast. Consumers are likely to lose from this deal. Comcast rates have risen at three times the rate of inflation over the last 8 years, and in 2004, it was rated the worst company in America in terms of customer satisfaction. The big fear stemming from this deal is the control the two companies will have over cable TV content. After all, Time Warner is part of a larger media empire that includes movie studios, record labels, TV networks, and publishing concerns. And Comcast has a stake in several TV channels, as well as the rights to the MGM film catalog. Public interest watchdogs are worried that either company could use its content library and cable reach to keep independent programs and channels off the air. They're urging municipal governments to leverage their franchise negotiating power with the companies in order to head off any moves that might gouge consumers and restrict channel diversity.
Leave it to big broadcasters to try and turn a grassroots media phenomenon into a money machine. Podcasting's on the lips of the tech-savvy these days, thanks to advancements in audio production tools, which allow virtually anyone to produce a radio show from anywhere and syndicate it online. Having run out of creative format ideas years ago, Infinity Broadcasting, the radio division of Viacom, will flip an AM station in San Francisco to an all-podcast format in May. The station's call letters will be changed to KYOU, and Infinity's already branded it Open Source Radio. It may sound like a big deal, but in reality, it's a perversion of podcasting itself. What makes podcasting especially liberating is that it allows content creators to distribute audio without any middleman. KYOU, though, will have a staff on hand to review the podcasts submitted to the station before they can be aired. Podcasting allows people to share content for free, but any content uploaded to KYOU becomes the property of Viacom. Podcasts, for the most part, are commercial-free. KYOU will essentially be podcasts with commercials. And finally, if you'd like to listen to KYOU itself online, you must register through a Viacom-sponsored website, which asks for your name, email address, and zip code. From Viacom's perspective, a podcast format radio station makes great sense. The programming is all free, and it generates a great buzz for a weak signal station with ratings currently near the bottom of the San Francisco market. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Okie dokie. Welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We're in the second half of a special two-hour edition today on WILL AM 580 on Sunday, May 1st, 2005. May Day, a lovely spring day here in East Central Illinois out on the prairies. I went for a walk this morning in Meadowbrook Park, and boy, it made me glad I'm around here today. It was just a beautiful day. This is a very important week. The reason we do the two-hour show, and we have our guest with us, John Nichols from Madison, Wisconsin, is it's our week to ask you for your support. We need your support to support programs like Media Matters, like Media Minutes, for local non-commercial radio broadcasts here in East Central Illinois, and really to support the principle of the sort of show we're doing, not just here in Illinois, but across this country, that the issues John Nichols is talking about, that our guests on this show, like Seymour Hersh next week, like Bernie Sanders, Linda Foley, Naomi Klein, Phil Donahue, on and on and on, the sort of people we bring every week to you here in East Central Illinois, that the sort of issues that these people are talking about and raising and discussing get an hearing all over the country, not just here. The support for this show does that. It makes it possible in ways that I can barely exaggerate. They're so useful for those of us trying to expand the horizons of what's permissible to be talked about in our media system. We have a goal that's been set for us for 119 callers to call in this two-hour period. In the first hour, we got 38. So basically, we need another 80 or so. We've got to do two-thirds of the lifting in the second hour, this hour of the show. Please call in. The number, as many of you, I hope, have memorized. If not, start memorizing. 217-244-9455. Give whatever you can. If you're only going to give a dollar, give a dollar. Show us your support. You know we have thousands of people listening to this show every week, and it's podcast. It's on the web at will.uiuc.edu. We know we have thousands more there listening to it online. We only need 1% or 2% of you to easily meet the 119 goal. If we got the other 98%, just some of you to give your support, we go way over it. 217-244-9455. This money goes to keep programs like this on the air, to pay the electric bill, the phone bill, the water bill. It doesn't go into my pocket. It doesn't go to any fancy limousines, no trips to Bar Harbor and these sort of places. This is just really down to the slab, paying the basics, trying to get another journalist to cover our community, to keep our people on staff. We need that support. 217-244-9455. And for a $60 pledge, if you give us our basic $60 pledge, we will give you, hot off the press, being printed right now this week, a new book called The Future of Media, which I had the privilege of co-editing with Ben Scott and Russ Newman. Has chapters in there, 15 chapters, including original chapters by people like Bill Moyers, Bernie Sanders of the U.S. House of Representatives, Linda Foley, Peter Hart for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, Michael Copps of the SEC. It's really a terrific book, and I can say this because I'm not bragging, because the other people are the people what makes it terrific, not Bob McChesney. But I urge you to get a copy of this book. We need your support. This hour is this is it for us. We're not going to be asking for money again till late fall, probably sometimes in October or November. We got enough money now to carry us through the summer to pay those bills. That air conditioning bill, if we have a rough summer, could be tough. We need air conditioning. We can't do the show without it. So you've got to make that call. 217-244-9455. I want to thank a few people have been terrific. Marianne and David Wilson in Urbana, thank you so much. The Mack family, Kim and Rick, thank you so much. From Farmer City And I know John Nichols loves it when you get people from rural areas calling from the smaller towns, because he's from a small town in Wisconsin himself. Charles Williams in Farmer City, thank you so much. Wayne and Adriana Smith in Champaign, thank you. And John Sullivan, thank you so much. Brother John Nichols, you're still there, I hope?
I am indeed.
Let me mention one last bit of business. Sarah McDougall here in Urbana very generously has offered to top off any student who calls in and wants to pay for a $25 student membership, all they have to do is pay $15. She'll pay the last $10 for them. So Sarah McDougall's got a challenge for the first 10 students to take her up on that. Please do, again, the number 217-244-9455. John Nichols, another big story that's come up, I think, in the news media, which has gotten roughly the same amount of attention as the British election, has been the Abu Ghraib prison scandal, the resolution of that, and really the great international controversy about this, which has barely percolated at all in the U.S. news media.
Well, I think that and if I can just add, there's also the really rapidly mounting controversy over the killing of the Italian security guard who, there was an Italian journalist who was imprisoned by some of the insurgents. She was released
Naomi Klein talked about that on the show last week, just for listeners.
Just so listeners know about it.
Yeah.
But that controversy has just blown up in Italy. And Berlusconi, who is an ally of Bush, is essentially pressing the United States, saying, you know, you guys have not investigated this. So what we're really getting with Abu Ghraib, with this Italian situation, with a whole bunch of other controversies, is a rising level of evidence that the United States is deciding to sweep controversy regarding the occupation of Iraq kind of under the table. Now, that's what governments do. It's their job to lie, you know, like it or not. It's how they operate. But the question is, why isn't American media doing the same thing that media in other countries around the world has done? You know, Blair in Britain is Bush's ally. Berlusconi in Italy is Bush's ally. And yet their feet are being held to the fire by domestic media in those countries that are demanding to get answers to fundamental questions about, you know, Brits who are held at Guantanamo, about the killing of this journalist, this security.